You're listening to Two Tonys Present the Discovery of a Witchcraft.
With an IE.
With an IE.
And the IE is in discovery, not witchcraft.
Not Tonys.
Not Tonys. And each time the episode title gets longer, and that's a rule.
And I'm Anthony.
And I'm Byron.
And
there's no I in Byron.
There's no IE in Byron.
No.
There's also no IE in Anthony.
It's Anthony with a Y.
As God intended.
Anthony with a Y, discovery with an IE.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And today is a very important day because we are starting a new book of the book.
Mm.
Well, what are we doing in the first place? Why are we here?
We're up to the third book?
Because we're here because we're reading a book.
Is it the third book in the original trilogy or the third book in the prequel trilogy, which they numbered number three? Is it Return of the Reggie or is it Revenge of the Reggie?
The book is called The Discovery of Witchcraft.
Okay.
By Reginald Scott.
Yeah. So the third book in the book has the same title as the overall book.
Well, the third book in the book has no title.
Well, now I'm just confused.
The overall book is called The Discovery of Witchcraft. It's written by Reginald Scott. It was written in 1584, or at least published in 1584. And it is made up of 16 books, the third of which we will read now.
So what I'm hearing is that we're like not even, what, a third of the way, not even a fifth of the way through?
We're an eighth of the way through.
The title is going to get very long.
It's as long as you...
Because the rule is we have to keep adding to it. By the time we get through all 16 books, it's going to be a very long
as
title.
As long as your heart desires, Byron. Yeah. It can be as long as you can imagine.
You're listening to episode 183. Last episode, we spoke for an hour about the title and
yeah,
we didn't finish it.
Yeah, if you want an edited recording of us just saying the titles of every...
You're listening to the title podcast.
Then, you know...
The IE is bully in titles.
And we might start a Patreon.
We'll start a Patreon where you can get exclusive clips of us. It's the title podcast.
Yeah.
With an IE.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, well, only if we get bullied.
The title podcast, T-I-E-T-L-E, where we give labels to ties.
This is getting increasingly abstract.
Should we read the book?
Yeah, let's read the book. So this is book three of, of The Discovery of Witchcraft. With an IE. And it's chapter one of book three, and it begins thusly. The Witch's Bargain with the Devil, according to Emmal, Bowden, Nida, Danus, Pselus, Erastus, Hemingius, Cuminus, Aquinas, Bartholomaeus, Spinius, etc.
He just gave up on the title. Is that one person or multiple people?
Oh, no, it's many people.
Oh, okay, because when you started reading it, I was like, especially in that day and age where it's like stone and chisels for the driver's license, that'd be like... Can we just put something shorter on there?
No, I have many names.
Yeah, but you need all of them on the driver's license.
Well, it's important because it's an official document. It needs to represent my official name.
I mean, but the stone for your driver's license is very small and the chisel's very
just
big.
Just get a smaller chisel. I don't know. This is not my problem. This is your problem.
Yeah. But I mean, even Reggie gave up at some point and just went, et cetera.
Et cetera. So M. Mal is Malleus Maleficarum, a book written by Heinrich Kramer, not in fact written by James Sprenger, as we have found. So we're talking about Kramer, but obviously Reggie is talking about Sprenger because Reggie believes that M. Mal is written by Sprenger. Also Bowden, who we've mentioned before.
We've met Bowden before,
character, kind of a crazy dude, lots of crazy things he said. And then we have a few other ones. Danius, we've heard from him before. Mm-hmm. He said something about how the devil is ugly. I can't remember exactly, but yeah. Nider, I don't know if I've heard that before. Pselus, don't know.
He might just be making it up by that point.
Erastus, did we hear about Erastus? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Hemingius, maybe we heard about Hemingius. I can't remember. Cuminus, we've heard about Cuminus before. I remember
with
hearing
the clouds.
About Cuminus. Yeah, I mean.
Cuminus, Limbus.
That is so close. So close, buddy. Good job. Aquinas, who... I don't know if Aquinas has been mentioned in this book yet, but Aquinas is a character, right? Thomas Aquinas. He's like a
He's quite the character.
What character? Definitely like a theologian that Reggie would have an opinion on.
Well, Reggie has an opinion on everybody, doesn't he?
Sure.
There's something to be said about a man's ability to not have an opinion about something, but Reggie just has an opinion about everything.
Oh, yeah. But I think, I mean, he spent a long time writing this book. It's quite long.
It is.
You would hope that he would have an opinion on...
something he's writing about.
Something he's writing about, yeah. Otherwise, it's like, why are you spending all that time?
Well, we could have finished this podcast a lot quicker. The Discovery of Witchcraft, which I have no particular opinion.
No opinion whatsoever. Goodbye. Yeah. So Aquinas is a well-known theologian, which maybe we'll get into more. But here he's being lumped in with all the other...
He's a big enough name to not be caught up in the etc.
Exactly. As is Bartholomaeus and Spinius. I feel like we heard about Spinius at some point, yeah. But maybe not too specifically. Anyway, so those are all the people we're going to hear from now about the witch's bargain with the devil.
Yeah.
And to zoom out a little bit, book three is, as far as I understand, largely about witchmonger literature and what the witchmongers are saying.
Just a literature review, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what do they say about things in their literature?
It was
literature?
The New York Times bestseller list of its day, witchmonger literature.
Right. Sure.
So what's in the Very top popular. 10? What's in the top 10 this year?
Very popular books everyone needs to know about. So what are we going to learn about the witch's bargain with the devil? Let's find out.
Yeah.
That which in this matter of witchcraft hath abused so many and seemeth bold, so horrible and intolerable is a plain bargain that, they say, is made betwixt the devil and the witch.
That would be it.
So there's a bargain between a devil and a witch. Great.
I figured that was like he's. I feel like he's repeating himself now. Like he's just said that's what this whole chapter's about.
Sure.
Sorry, this whole book is about.
Sure. All right. We'll continue. And many of great learning conceive it to be a matter of truth, and in their writings publish it accordingly, that which, by God's grace, shall be proved as vain and false as the rest.
See, that whole idea of, like, you can't trust the news. You can see it's as ancient as ever. He's basically...
Oh, fake
he's
news,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's basically like, well, they say this is true, but it's fake news.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just like say stuff is true and expect us to believe it.
No, exactly. I mean,
like, we're going to be skeptical.
He's
about
basically
this.
Saying these long list of men, etc., have no journalistic integrity.
Hold on a second, they're just making shit up. Yeah, I don't know how far back this sort of skepticism goes as a practice in academia. I feel like, you know, you get this sort of like impression, or I get this sort of impression from, you know, learning about the history of science, that for a long time, people would just say stuff.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That makes, yeah, sounds right.
The time before scientific method.
Right. And then at some point, people started being like, is that right, though? And maybe this is part of that. I mean, 1584, you know, we're getting towards the time at which people are starting to say,
it's not far
hold on,
off it. Yeah.
Hold on.
Evidence.
Maybe we need to gather evidence. Mm. Maybe we need to question things.
That's just a theory.
Yeah. The order of their bargain or profession is double. The one solemn and public, the other secret and private.
Ooh.
So there's apparently two parts to this this bargain between the devil and the witch. That which is called solemn or public is where witches come together at certain assemblies at the times prefixed and do not only see the devil in visible form, but confer and talk familiarly with him.
Oh, hey, devil. Good to see you.
Yeah, well, you called me here. What do you want?
Like, can I call you Satan?
You call me whatever you want.
Just drop just the Lord.
Get to the point. I'm very busy.
How are the kids?
They're fine. You know, they're having fun torturing people, rending souls. You know, like what do you want?
It's just wanted to catch up, see how you're going. You know.
You know, I'm not great.
Could make a bargain if you want.
I'm always down for a bargain.
Just a casual. Just a friendly side bet.
Yeah, all right.
I'm assuming that's what Reggie means by familiar. Right? It's just like, drop the pretend. Like, you don't have to call me Lord Satan. Like, we're just friends.
Yeah, we're just hanging out here. We're just chilling. with the devil.
Please, just call me Lucy.
Call me Lucy. Yeah, yeah. Lucky Lucifer. Yeah. So the public part of the bargain is that sort of witch's circle, coven type, you know, dancing with the devil.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then, in which conference the devil exhorteth them to observe their fidelity unto him, promising them long life and prosperity. So when the devil meets them publicly, you know, obviously be faithful to me because I am your lord and master, yada, yada, yada. And I'll give you long life and prosperity.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds like a good deal.
Sounds like a great deal.
Yeah. Then the witches assembled commend a new disciple, whom they call a novice, unto him. And if the devil find that young witch apt and forward in renunciation of Christian faith, in despising any of the seven sacraments, in treading upon crosses, in spitting at the time of the elevation, okay, in breaking their fast on fasting days and fasting on Sundays, then the devil giveth forth his hand, and the novice, joining hand in hand with him, promiseth to observe and keep all the devil's commandments.
So it's basically a hazing ritual.
Well, yeah, I mean, the witch has to obviously promise to do lots of things and sort of, you know, renounce Christ and say that they're not a fan of the sacraments and tread upon crosses. And I don't know what spitting at the time of the elevation means. Maybe the devil like levitates the witch and then the witch starts spitting on everybody. I don't know. Like, what does it mean? Who knows?
At the time of what?
Spitting at the time of the elevation.
So is that at the time of...
I feel like if it was levitation, Reggie would probably just say levitation.
Well, I'm thinking like the time of the elevation. Is that some sort of biblical reference? Is there supposed to be like a time in the day when you're supposed to be praying or...
Or maybe the elevation is when they become like an official witch.
Yeah, at the time that you become an official witch and we elevate you from novice to fully fledged gang member, you've got to spit.
Yeah, so what is it? It's like novice and then journeyman. Journeyman witch.
Is spitting with one or two T's?
Two, but like what does...
Because I'm trying to think like... Because remember, they don't know how to spell in these times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what does it matter?
Could it be like speeting or spetting? I don't know.
Yeah, but it doesn't... The spelling is... It doesn't matter because they don't...
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know... I'm trying to think if is it another word that they've just spelt differently to what you do.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Sounds like one for a future Google check.
I don't know how to Google that because basically they're just saying, you know, this person spits at the time of elevation. Okay, great.
Okay.
Anyway.
let me get a pen and paper. I'll Google
so
it.
So hold on. There's also, are you literally looking for a post-it to write on right now?
I feel like we're missing our integrity if we don't do a Google check when we don't understand something like that. Why would people keep listening to us?
Feel free. Go ahead. Take your time.
I'm just gonna write that down.
take your fucking time, man.
Spitting at the time.
It's not like we're recording this or anything.
This works great in an audio format. Elevation. Like that, this is what people come here for. They come here for the visual gags.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely the visual gags.
They come to see, like, they're listening to this podcast because they can tell that we're wearing silly hats, big loud bow ties, and one of those little flowers that squirts.
Yeah, and like crazy glasses.
That's what people are really here for.
Yeah, and we're drinking out of silly straws.
They can see it through the medium of audio.
I like your glasses. Do you want to swap?
It's my silly straw.
All right. Okay, so the other thing here is they promise to observe and keep all the devil's commandments. So we know about God's commandments.
Yes.
But what are the devil's commandments?
I'm hoping that we go into an item list of the devil's 10 commandments.
I wonder if the devil has 10. Maybe the devil has a different number.
Or is it just like, take the original 10 commandments and just the opposite.
Reverse them. Just reverse them.
Do covet thy neighbor's wife.
Yeah, definitely covet thy neighbor's wife.
Yeah.
Do it again. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe we'll find out. Maybe it'll happen. So that's the public part. And then maybe we'll find out more about the private part in a bit. This done, the devil beginneth to be more bold with her, telling her plainly that all this will not serve his turn, and therefore requireth homage at her hands. Yea, he also telleth her that she must grant him both her body and soul to be tormented in everlasting fire, which she yieldeth unto. So this is the classic, like, you know, pop culture deal with the devil where, like, you get stuff for a time, you know, while you're alive, you get fame, fortune, whatever, and then in exchange you give up
your damnation.
Yeah, you give up your immortal soul to go to hell when you die. So we know what's going on here. Yeah. Then he chargeth her to procure as many men, women, and children also as she can to enter into this society. So, again, we got to get converts.
I mean, look, to be fair, it's the same for most Christian faiths. It's like, be fruitful and multiply. And
yeah,
bring more into our religion. Like, why wouldn't he do the same?
Yeah, it's just a classic cult thing where you're like, just go and get more people.
Get more people. Yep.
Yeah, you know, we know this. Then he teacheth them to make ointments of the bowels and members of children, whereby they ride in the air and accomplish all their desires.
So this little salve, it's made from a little boy's stool. You rub it on your knees and you can fly.
Don't forget the members.
Yeah.
So the devil is teaching the witches how to do spells, how to make potions.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's very hands-on.
It is.
God is rarely this hands-on.
Is the devil... Is he asking for these body parts from children in exchange for teaching them, or is he asking them because that goes into the spells?
They make ointments of the bowels and members.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's important. The ointment needs to have, you know, those are the ingredients.
Exactly.
Those are just the ingredients.
So I'm going to give you a shopping list.
Yes.
And when you come back, I'll teach you how to fly.
Oh, gosh, that sounds fantastic.
Yes.
What's in this shopping list?
Well, we need a little boy's member.
Hold on a second. What?
Well, I say shopping list. It's more of a gathering list.
Oh, well, that's strange.
Like, maybe I misled you with the term shopping list.
No,
you can't just
fine.
Buy this
no,
from
no,
the supermarket.
I understand.
I need to know it's authentic.
I'm following what you're saying.
Oh, okay, good.
I understand.
Then I need the intestines from a little blonde girl.
Okay.
Yep. And then I'll teach you how to fly.
I do want to learn how to fly. Let me think. I mean, I guess I could.
Yeah, excellent. This recipe will take 30 minutes to prepare.
Right, prep time.
30 minutes of prep time and 30 minutes of cooking time. Mm. It's enough to serve 4 witches
right.
for a total flight time of an hour.
That's right. So as, if there be any children unbaptized or not guarded with the sign of the cross or orisons, then the witches may and do catch them from their mother's sides in the night or out of their cradles, or otherwise kill them with their ceremonies, and after burial steal them out of their graves and seethe them in a cauldron, until their flesh be made potable.
You've got to baptize your wife, baptize your kids. Because there'd be witches out here. They'd be snatching everybody up.
Yeah, that's right. So if the child is not baptized or guarded with cross or... What do you suppose orisons are? I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you spell it? I'll add it to the
list. It's like horizons.
But without the O.
But without the H.
Guarded with... Horizon.
And, yeah, and Byron is now making a note on his...
Well, you're not going to Google check it. Somebody needs
to. Well, hold on. How do you know I'm not going to Google
check it? Weren't going to Google check the other one? I guess I've just lost my trust in your integrity.
Your trust is broken.
Yeah, my trust is broken.
We need to make a deal.
I'm not going out collecting things for you.
but it's being recorded.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm making a very... public statement that I'm not going to go dismember children for
Anthony. Well, that's just sad. So also, we're stealing babies out of graves.
Yep, presumably only the unbaptized ones.
Yeah, I guess so.
I hope so. Well, actually, no, I hope they don't steal any children, but...
Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, this is also what is being said by the witch mongers,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, again, did these things happen? Who knows? Yeah, and then whack them in a cauldron, just bung them in the oven, mm-hmm. until their flesh be made potable. We covered this before.
This is in the instructions for the recipe, isn't it?
Right, yes, but also
step
we covered...
Step one, dice the children into 3-inch cubes.
That's right. So we also covered making their flesh potable before, right? We covered that.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that you can do. You can't just like...
I don't know. They've got those filters for hikers that like you squeeze all the water through and it makes all the water potable. Like surely you can just take one of those and just squeeze the flesh through.
Yeah, but this is modern technology. Witches don't have this.
You can also have a cauldron. You can build a filter by layering like charcoal and dirt.
I suppose if you boil something enough, you do kill like all the bugs.
This is one I am not going to Google check.
But yes, it doesn't appear that this is a thing that anybody would do. Or maybe it's a thing that one person did one time because they were like... Because, I mean, back in the day, people would do some crazy shit, right? Like, how did we figure out that it was okay to eat cheese? I mean, that's wild.
That's crazy.
Like, that's... You churn some milk and then, like, leave it out somewhere in a weird... It's just weird.
It's just weird.
So people were doing some weird stuff,
like,
right?
Even things like bread. Like, how do you work out
how do you accidentally make bread?
Yeah, you can't, like, it doesn't seem like something you'd just accidentally make.
Yeah, because you got to, yeah, the yeast has to grow.
Yeah.
You have to let that happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. People be doing some weird stuff.
Weird stuff.
So maybe one time they did this and they were like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everything is then based on the story of one time somebody did something weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine you're the guy that did the weird thing and then you're like, it didn't work.
There must be like so many uninvented things.
Oh, yeah.
Just that because we didn't think to add those things together and just leave it in a fridge or like in a cool place.
You mean like just there's so bunch of stuff that we haven't tried yet.
Yeah, like there could be something really tasty that we can get from, you know, treating like...
From doing things the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just like... Cheese was invented because one day Joseph accidentally left the milk
right
somewhere and it went bad. But then it hardened and he ate it anyway because he was hungry.
Right. And then he was like, actually, this is not too bad.
Yeah. Like, how many other people accidentally created cheese before somebody decided to eat it?
True.
Right? Like, there must be other things that, like, we look at it and going, oh, you wouldn't do that. That doesn't sound safe. But actually, it's a really tasty thing that we haven't invented yet.
What tastes are there left to be discovered?
Well, I don't know. Like, if I knew...
Exactly.
I'd invent them.
Yeah, and maybe you'd make, like, $1 billion.
I'm not a hoarder. I'm just trying to accidentally create the next cheese.
Right. Let's continue. We're approaching the end of the chapter, and we haven't quite gotten to the secret and private part of the bargain, I don't think.
No.
Of the thickest... whereof they make ointments, whereby they ride in the air, but the thinner potion they put into flagons, whereof whosoever drinketh, observing certain ceremonies, immediately becometh a master, or rather a mistress, in that practice and faculty.
So there's two potions.
There's a thick potion.
And a thin potion.
And a thin potion.
How do I know it's the thin potion and not just the thick potion that's been watered down?
I think they're probably pretty similar, to be honest. But the thick potion, or the ointment, lets them ride in the air. The thinner potion, they drink, and they do, you know, the ceremonies, but they become a master of something. That practice and faculty.
So I'm assuming it means you can drink the thick one and fly, or you can drink the thin one and become the master of flying.
Yeah, like, why would you ever do the thick one? Why would
Maybe
you ever do the ointment?
Maybe there's more thick than... Separate the thin from the thick.
Yeah.
We'll be saving the thin for later.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to need that later. Yeah, maybe it is just flying. Wow. So now we know how to fly.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if we got to the part. Maybe this is the private part. The private part is when the devil talks to the novice witch in private and says, you got to go cut up some babies now.
Yeah.
So and then you can fly.
Now that if you've done all that stuff in public, let me just tell you.
Cut up a baby, I'll let you fly.
Ooh.
I mean, it's not a good trade. Flying can't be that good.
No. Because you're trading like flying for now, but you've also got to cut up a baby and then suffer eternal damnation.
Yeah, bad trade.
Bad trade.
Real bad trade.
Yeah. The other thing I don't get right is if the devil does this, these are essentially his chosen ones. Like he's chosen, like I'm choosing to make you special now.
Right.
Why would he then send them to eternal damnation? Like surely there'd be others that have sinned and like he's given no
special powers
to.
Right, exactly. Just, like thieves.
Yeah.
Like they don't get the help.
No, exactly.
So, but they still go to hell.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's weird. The other thing about this that's weird is that, is this a presumption that the devil somehow like needs people to
exactly.
sin?
Exactly. Like, I feel there's an endless supply for him.
Like, why does the devil need people to sin? What motivation does he have? Is it like a numbers thing? Like, you know, the people who run private prisons, they get paid by the government per prisoner or whatever. Right, so there's no incentive for them.
No, I think it's an intrinsic motivation. It's like that cookie clicker game.
Yeah, okay. He gets some sort of dopamine high.
He just gets more. Yeah, he just gets a dopamine high from seeing the number going
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so the more souls he has, the more dopamine gets produced by in the devil's
exactly.
brain.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just some sort of chemical thing for him. He gets off on it.
Hell is a Skinner box.
A Skinner? I don't know what Skinner.
The Skinner box was one where he put like rats in a box and
this
got them
is
hooked
Skinner
on
the psychologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know about his box.
Yeah. No, it's a
Byron knows
psychological experiment
Skinner's
thing.
Box.
I did Psych 101.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.